copy of God's watch here this afternoon in Hadley. Word of God, written that is, offered to you quite freely. You're simply for the taking. Things were written that you might believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and that to believing that you might have life in His name. No life apart from God in Jesus Christ. I am, He says, the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. No life apart from God in Jesus Christ. Only death. Only an existence, but not life. Life comes through knowing God and knowing the one whom He has sent, His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. This is eternal life. Like to have a copy of God's Word, read for yourself, meditate upon, digest, know if it may be. God gives you the light and the life, the love that you need, only to be found in God's Son, Jesus Christ, sent into the world to be a Savior, not to save everybody, that is, but to save those whom He came for, the ones, that is, that He died for. That's not everybody. Those that He came for, those chosen of God, selected by God to hear the gospel that you're hearing today and to believe it, and believing in order to be saved. Salvation comes by faith and faith alone, by the grace of God, the free gift of God, grace of God alone, to faith alone, in Jesus Christ alone. It is an exclusive message. It bears no tolerance, none whatsoever. Do not believe Jesus is the Christ. Do not believe the Son of God. You are not and cannot be saved. Only in the way of repentance, turning from your sin, your wickedness and unbelief, and journey to the Lord Jesus Christ, can you be a recipient of God's salvation. It is given, my friends. It is not taken. It is not chosen. It is not worked for. Only choice that you have is the choice to sin and then to sin some more. It is a given. It's not of him that willeth, says God, not of him that chooses, but of him who God himself chooses. Not of man that runneth or works, not by your good works, religious or otherwise, only through faith, trusting, believing. And that, my friends, with a faith, with a belief given to you of God. It is the gift of God. It is all given. Only God can give it to you. But of course, the good news is that God does give His salvation, gives the gift of faith to those whom He wills to do so. And the means by which, the instrumentality by which He does so, is through the preaching of the gospel, the good news. That God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, into the world, that through Him that sinners might be reconciled to Him, might be saved. So listen up. Who knows, but maybe God smile upon you today. God give you ears to hear. Give you a heart to believe. And a heart that is willing to receive the gift of God. The wages of sin is death, but the gift, free gift of God, is eternal life through Jesus Christ whom I declare to you today. His own words, he says, if any man have ears to hear, let him hear. And when he was entered into the house from the people, his disciples asked him concerning the parable which he had just spoken. And he saith unto them, are you so without understanding also? Do you not perceive that whatsoever thing from without entereth into the man, it cannot defile him? That is, nothing that you put into yourself makes you unclean in the eyes of God. Not pork sandwiches, not bacon butties, not anything you put into yourself can make you unclean in the eyes of God. And he says, because it entereth not into his heart, what you put into you doesn't go into your heart, it goes into your belly and goeth out into the draught, purging all meat. It goes in one end and it comes out the other. Biology, you know. And he said, that which cometh out of the man, that's what defileth him. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, theft, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, lusting, that is, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. Not what you put into yourself that defiles you before God, but what comes out of you. The heart, you see, is deceitful above all things, says God, and desperately wicked. It's the heart that's the heart of the problem. You make the heart good, and you make the person good. You leave the heart be, you can be religious, that won't change your heart. That won't take the lust out of you. You can stop eating bacon butties and pork sandwiches, but that won't make you acceptable to God. Your heart is still defiled, your heart is still unclean, your heart is still full of all kinds of filthy lust. Now, heart surgery is what's required, says Jesus. God, by his Son Jesus Christ, the master physician, he must come with his scalpel and open up your heart and let out the poison, the pus of sin. And then, of course, heal it, cleanse it, heal it, and bind it up again. A new heart, that's what's required, that's what's needed. But of course, that's the problem with you, is it not? One of the reasons why that you reject the gospel is because it addresses man's heart. Much easier to be religious, much easier to be unbelieving, much easier to remain godless, foolish, daft, you know, in the darkness of your sin. That's the easy way. Any fool can trod that pathway. And of course, anybody can be religious. Just go to the synagogue, the mosque, the temple, the Romish church, or the Church of England. They'll make you religious. Oh yeah, you can be religious just like falling off a tree. Anybody can become religious. That you do yourself. But the heart business, well, that's more serious. That's deeper. You can't change your heart. You see, the problem goes way, way back to the beginning. Way back to your first parent. The one right at the beginning. His name was Adam. And he was not just the first man. He was the head of the human race. And because he disobeyed God, because he sinned, because he defiled his heart, and he brought that same condition upon the entirety of his posterity. That is yours truly and yourselves as well. Passing the sin gene, if you like, passing the same sin nature onto his children, their children after them, all the way down the line. By natural generation, you are a sinner. Conceived in your mother's womb, sin, says God. Born in sin 9 months later, living out of a sinful nature, a sinful heart. And of course, dying and going to lost eternity in exactly the same condition, unless that is by the grace of God, you're mended, you're healed, you're restored to God by the gospel through faith in the Son of God. So you see, it's a heart condition, and it's a condition, my friends, it's not a peculiar one, you know, it's common to all men and all women. It's the state and condition of us all. And of course, well, you can see that, can you not, in your society today, you know. Bible tells me, says that the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all the ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth about God, about His Son, about His Word, the truth, and of course about themselves, who hold down the truth and unrighteousness. They do that deliberately. They do that willfully. They do that wickedly, because they want the easy route. Just stay with the sin. Just go with the flow. Just go with the majority. Go with the religion. Take the easy route, rather than a change of heart, rather than heart surgery. But what does the wrath of God revealed from heaven? What does the holy displeasure and the wrath of God, what does that look like? Where is it revealed? Well, in your world, in your society, in what comes out of your mouth, in what comes out of your heart, and what comes out of the hearts of men and women the world over. Well, he says, evil thoughts, wicked evil thoughts about God and about one another. Adultery. And of course, that's not just, you know, cheating on your wife or your husband. That's every form, if you like, of deviant sexuality that you can think of in your polluted, fallen mind. And then there's fornication, sexual activity outside of holy matrimony, murdered by abortion, murdered by euthanasia, violence, drugs, you name it, murder, never done killing. Animals, well, they're excusable. They kill just to eat, you know, but human beings, they do it for pleasure, wanton pleasure. They that hate me, says God, love death. That's writ large all over your society, isn't it? 12 million, is it? Unborn, innocent children, defenseless, voiceless, ripped from their mother's wombs in the name of abortion, slaughtered on the altar of your sexual pleasure. That's the wrath of God. That's what you're given over to, because you want the easy route. You want the soft option. Just go with the flow. So murders, theft, thieving, covetousness, of which there's no end, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, and foolishness. All this and more, my friends, the wrath of God revealed from heaven and expressed by you in your modern society, in your world, in your own community here in the district of Hanley. That's the wrath of God. That's what you're given over to in your unbelief, in your refusal to do that which is right, to repent and believe the gospel. So, as I say, it's a heart condition, my friends. And it's a condition that's common to every man, woman, and child born into this world. There's nobody escapes the taint of sin. How can you bring, God asks the question, how can you bring a clean thing out of an unclean? That's not possible. How can you bring clean children out of unclean parents? That too is impossible. Why is it you think that you have to rail and shout and bawl at your children, telling them not to tell lies, or they'll end up working for the BBC? Why is it you have to rail at them because they rail at you? Why do you have to discipline your children? Because they're wicked sinners just like you are. You can't get a clean thing out of an unclean parent, father, or mother. All, my friends, all conceived in sin, born in sin, live in sin, and die in it, unless by the grace of God there's a heart change. A heart change, not the outward, not what you put into you, it's what comes out of you. That's the problem. That's what makes you unclean, defiled before God. And my friends, there's only one remedy, and that's heart surgery, which you cannot permit, that only God can. But the very reason why God sent His Son into the world to do that very heart surgery. Being born again is how Jesus, He terms it. In your natural state and condition, you do that which is, you go contrary to God's law. The summary of God's law that Jesus gives us is that you should love God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, and love your neighbor. But you do the opposite. You hate God and you hate your neighbor, consciously or unconsciously. But my friends, the evidence is before you. The evidence is in your life. How do you hate your neighbor? Well, you hate your neighbor by the adulteries, the fornications, the murders, the abortion, the euthanasia, the drugs, the violence, the covetousness. All of these things are your expressions of hatred for God and hatred for your neighbor. Ungodly to a man, to a woman. But of course the good news is that Christ died for the ungodly. But that's for those who know that they're ungodly. Those who know that they've offended God. Those who know that their hearts are not right. Those who know that they're not what they ought to be. And those who desire, of course, to be, well, to be reconciled to God. By that is the grace of God. It's only, you see, as you're informed, it's only as God, through the preaching of the gospel, informs you and enlightens you of these things. You cannot be saved without knowledge. Without the knowledge of these things, without the knowledge of yourself, you cannot come to a knowledge of God. To know yourself, to know what you are, but as long as you go about God's world with this delusion that you're okay, that you're a nice person, you're a good person, you do good, God says there's none good and there's none that doeth good. There's none righteous, religious, or otherwise. No, no, my friends, unprofitable, says God, not worth a light, any one of us, apart from God in Jesus Christ. But Christ died for the ungodly, for those who know that they're ungodly. Those that is who know, my friends, what ungodliness means. That is that they are contrary to God in their nature. in their natures. Their natures have never been changed. Or they might be religious, they might wear religious clothes, but their hearts have never been changed. Lest there's a day, lest there's a time that you can point to and say, that's when I was, as Jesus terms it, that's when I was born again. That's when God came to me by His Son Jesus Christ and changed my ungodly heart and took the hatred, took the heart of stone out of me and gave me a heart of flesh. That's when God came to me and took the hatred for Himself out of me and the hatred for His Son out of me and the hatred for my neighbor out of me. That's when God caused me, as Jesus puts it, to be born again. He says ye must be born again. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God, never mind enter into it. So Christ died for the ungodly, those who know that they're ungodly, contrary to God in their natures, and contrary to God in their practice, that everything that they do is defiled. Everything. Or you may claim to do good works. You may claim to have some brownie points, you know, before your Maker, but God says otherwise. Nothing you do, nothing I tell you apart from Christ, nothing you do is acceptable to God. Because all you are is nothing but a lump of walking, breathing, talking sin. And everything that you say, everything that you do, everything that you think, my friends, is polluted, is defiled by sin. And therefore, unacceptable to God. All your good works, your righteousnesses, that's your best. That's your very best. Your righteousnesses, says God, they are like filthy rags in His sight. Untouchable. God, the Bible says, is of purer eyes than to behold evil. So how could He behold you? In righteousness, in love, in favor, that is. Not possible, my friend, not possible. But as I say, or rather as God's word says, Christ died for the ungodly. God sent His Son with purpose, and the purpose was to live the kind of life that you ought to have lived. A perfect one. A spotless, a flawless life. He came to live that life, and He came to die that death on the cross, that through Him that you might be reconciled to God. He was sent for that purpose. Oh, He wasn't martyred. He was taken by the hands of wicked and cruel men and nailed to that cross. But it was all in the will of God. It's what He was sent for. I lay down my life, not taken from Him. He lay His life down voluntarily, willingly, lovingly for those He came to save. For those He came to die for, what He came for. Christ died willingly, deliberately. It's what He was born for, what He lived for, to die. Right from day one He was heading to that cross. And nothing would stop it. And so He did, He died. That death on the cross, shed His blood, not just dying. Oh, my friend, forsaken of His Father, He bore, hell came down upon Jesus on that cross. He bore the wrath of God that was due to the sins of those whom He was dying for. The full, fearsome wrath of God poured out like a vial upon the Son of God, the spotless Son of God. He died on that cross, bled and died, endured the wrath, the judgment of God. Christ died. And to prove it, he was put in a tomb for 3 days. Dead, my friends. Not a little bit dead, not a big bit dead, but totally dead. For 3 days, he laid in that tomb. But my friends, the tomb, death could not hold him. He's the mighty Son of God. He's God, manifest in the flesh. You see, my friends, the Bible tells us that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. The job was too big for a man. The job was too big for another Moses. The job was too big for another prophet, an apostle. God himself had to come. That's what it takes, my friends, to get you out your depravity. That's what it takes to get a man, a woman out of his sin. God had to come down in the person of his Son and die on that cross and bear his own wrath in his body on that tree. Christ died. And who did he do it for? He did it for the ungodly. He did it for thee. He did it for men and women with evil thoughts in their hearts. He did it for those adulterers. He did it for the fornicators, murderers, theft, the covetous, the wicked, the deceit. My friends, he did it for vile sinners. But those who know that they're vile sinners, the self-righteous, religious Pharisees of his day and your day as well, he's got nothing to say. Nothing. He came for the brokenhearted, he said. Came to set the captive free. Came to release those from their prisons. But no, not a single word does he have for the self-righteous. Not a word for those who say, I'm okay. I'm okay, I'm good to go. I don't need your gospel, I don't need God, I don't need nothing, nobody. I'm okay. Self-righteousness. Those who believe themselves to be good. Wanting for nothing. As far as God's concerned, Jesus got nothing. You self-righteous, Jesus ain't got nothing. Nothing, I tell you, say to you. So you see, my friends, Christ died, and this is who he died for, the vilest of sinners. Matters not where you've been. Matters not who you've been sleeping with. Matters not how long you've been at it. Matters not how defiled, how filthy, dirty. Matters not how many. What? What? Can't hear you. Can't hear you. My friend, Christ died for the ungodly, unholy, unrighteous, wicked sinners. That's who he came for. But you give that a pass, you say, that's not me. You say, I'm okay. Well, I guess you can pass on by. The gospel's not for you. But you see, my friends, it was in dying on that cross and rising again from the dead. You see, my friend, it's a living Savior that you need, not a dead prophet, not a dead pope, not a dead religion that you need. I say it again, I keep saying it, because your country's full of poisonous, dead, heathen religion now. And their hearts are full of filthy lust, because all their religion and all their religious grace doesn't take the lusts out of their hearts. Heart surgery is what's needed. And Jesus came and died and rose again from the dead to make that a possibility. It's a living Savior. A Savior who's alive from the dead and alive forevermore that you need. A living Savior, not a dead prophet. I have it do for you. He's dead and buried, mountain in the grave, just like John Brown. My friends, Jesus, alive from the dead, a living Savior, and with the power, all power in heaven and earth is given unto me, he said. Following his resurrection, everything's under his feet. He's the King, he rules and reigns. And he saves his people, those who belong to him, those who were given to him of his Father. He died for his sheep. He comes for his sheep. And he comes for them in the preaching of the gospel. He doesn't come for the goats. He comes for the sheep. My sheep, they hear my voice. And they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life. But not the goats. The goats don't hear his voice. They're stone deaf to the voice of God. You don't hear. You don't hear my voice, Jesus said to the religious. You don't hear my voice because you're not of God. You don't hear my voice. But my sheep, he says, they hear my voice. And they follow me and I give unto them eternal life. Goats to the left and the sheep to the right, says Jesus. The goats go to everlasting destruction. And the sheep, they go to everlasting life. Sheep or goats. That's the distinction that God makes in humanity. In every day and every generation, there are two classes of people. They're the sheep and they're the goats. They're those who belong to Jesus and there are those who don't. Those who don't, Jesus did not die for. Those who don't go to eternal life. Their hearts remain the same, full of lust, full of death. Yeah. Murderous hearts, blasphemous hearts. But those, all the sheep, my friends, those that God separated from the rest before the foundation of the world, he loved and sent his son to die for them, to save them, my friend. Save them from all kinds of sin. Save them from religious sin, even. Save them, my friend, to open up their hearts and take the sin out of their hearts. Take away the love of sinning. Take away the love of the uncleanness. Take away the hatred from their hearts. Give them new hearts. Surgery. Heart surgery. Not what you put into a man defiles him, says Jesus. It's what comes out of your heart. That's the problem. And you can't stop it. Because you are incontinent, says God. You know what incontinent is? You got that in you that, you know, that you can't stop it coming out. You want to stop it, but it won't stop coming out. Incontinent. That's how God describes you in your sin. You try to keep the sin in, but it won't stay in. It keeps coming out of you. It keeps coming out. Yeah. The evil thoughts, the adulteries, the fornications, the murders, the theft, the covetousness, it keeps coming out of you. You're incontinent. You can't keep it in. Jesus must come and Jesus must take it out of you. He must remove the poison. But to do so, my friends, he has to come. And he has to do a work in your heart. He has to break your heart. He has to break your sin-hardened heart. He has to melt your frozen heart. Because it's like marble. The Word of God just bounces off it. Until Jesus breaks your heart and brings you to that place of sorrow, tears. But the Bible calls repentance. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thought. Repent ye and believe the gospel, says Jesus, for the kingdom of God is at hand. That repentance, my friend, a heart broken over your sin, sorrow because you've offended love, sorrow because you've offended your best good, sorrow, my friend, because you've offended God. Sorrow, my friend, weeping on your knees before God, crying out to Him that He would have mercy upon you, a sinner, not your sins, a sinner, that's what you are, yeah? The God of mercy on you, a sinner, defiled, unclean, ruined, damnworthy, on your way to a lost eternity if he doesn't save you. Repentance, my friend, turning from your sin. Let the wicked forsake, let go his way, your way. You say, I did it my way. Your way has to go, because your way is rotten. Your way is the way to destruction. Let the wicked forsake, let go his way, abandon it. And the unrighteous man, his evil, wicked thoughts, they must go. They must be repented of. They must be turned from, forsaken, with no thought of returning to them. But in turning from sin, that's only the half. That's only the half. In turning from your sin, forsaking the world and all its lures, turning, my friends, to the one, only one who can save you, even Jesus. Turning to Him in faith, my friend, believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved, is the assurance that God gives in His Word. That's the command. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's and the assurance is...
That's why He takes all the loved ones away.
What?
That's why He takes all the loved ones away.
That too, my dear. That too. So like I say, a lady makes a very good point. Very good point. She says that's why... That's why He takes all our loved ones away. A very, very good point. People don't just die. Nobody just dies. God takes them. And He takes them away. And He takes them away because of their sin. And He takes them away to a place, believe me, they do not want to go. But too late then. Too late then. Now is the time. Now is the accepted time, says God. In order that is to be saved, right with God, reconciled to your Maker, before you're taken away out of this world into the presence of the Judge who stands before the door, even now as I speak. Oh, my friend, Today, if you will hear His heart, today, my friend, not tomorrow, you haven't got tomorrow, not next week, not the end of your life, you don't know when that will be. No, my friends, today, if you hear His voice, harden not your heart, but my friends, today, yield to the only Savior. Submit to the only Son of God with the ability that no other has to reconcile you to God. To save to the uttermost all those that come to God by Him. Cannot come in any other way. Cannot come to God in any other name. He doesn't recognize the name Allah. That's fictitious. He doesn't recognize the name Muhammad. He doesn't recognize the title Pope. Only one name that God recognizes, and that's His dear Son. His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. That name and that name only. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. No one gets right with God. No one gets access to God but by Jesus Christ. None other name under heaven, says the Bible, whereby we must be saved. One name only, Jesus, Son of God, Christ, who died for the ungodly and rose again from the dead to justify them, make them right with God, that is. Why? Because they're not right with God, naturally speaking. There has to be a heart surgery. There has to be a change of heart. The poison must be removed. That which defiles the heart, it must be cleaned. It must be purified. And it can only be purified. Go where you will. Any stone in Hadley, any stone in the pottery, ask them for some commodity that will wash and cleanse your heart and take all the filthy evil thoughts out of your heart. They'll laugh you out of the place. They'll send for the men with white coats to take you away. But my friends, they'll tell you there's no such a thing. But there is. There is, my friend. The blood of God's Son, Jesus Christ. He who died for the ungodly shed His blood in order that your heart might be purified, might be washed and made clean and fit for God and fit for one day for heaven. But I tell you, unless Jesus washes you, unless Jesus washes you, you've got no part with Him or God. Nobody else can. And nothing else but His blood can wash you and make you clean. Not all the religion in the world will do that for you. Only Jesus. Only His blood. Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Moses, the Old Testament, he said that without the shedding of blood, there could be no remission, no forgiveness of sin. And the good news is that God has provided the necessary blood sacrifice. His own Son, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world, and would take away your sin today, before your sin takes you away into a very dark and a very hot place that you do not want to be, believe me. The torment, the flames, the damnation of hell awaits you. Unless you've been washed in the blood of the Lamb, unless Jesus washes you, purifies you, makes you clean, come now, saith the Lord, and let us reason together, Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow, taken away by God's love, so far away that not even God himself can find them. Obliterated, erased from God's book. No longer any condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, believing in, trusting in Christ Jesus. That's all. That's all. But when I say that's all, do remember, won't you, that you can't believe yourself. You can no more believe yourself in Jesus than you can fill yourself up by the bootlaces. God must give it to you, because salvation's a given. Eternal life is a given. Forgiveness is a given. Repentance is a given. Faith is a given. God gives it to whomsoever he wills to give it to. It's a given, all of it. God must give it to you. And so I suggest, if that's a concern to you, that you ought to pursue God, that you ought to sue him for terms of peace, that you ought to go after him. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto God, and he will abundantly pardon, show mercy. But if that's no concern to you at all, well, maybe that's because you're not one of his sheep. Maybe you don't hear the voice of the Savior calling. Maybe all you hear is just the voice of a preacher. You don't hear the voice of the Savior calling. Calling today, calling. What's his call? Repent ye and believe the gospel. That's his call. For the kingdom of God is at hand. And that's how you enter it. The kingdom of God, I think. His grace, his love, his favor. That heart purity, that cleanness. That new life. That eternal life. Because God's kingdom, an everlasting kingdom. And those who belong to it have everlasting life. So my friends, repent ye. That's the call. That's the call. Comes to you today. To all, promiscuously. To all. Under the sound of my voice. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Hanley. Repent ye and believe the gospel. For the kingdom of God is at hand. You'd like to have a copy of God's word and check these things out for yourself. See that they are so according to God's written word. Like to have a copy of God's word, feel free to come and ask for one. Freely offer to you, freely receive. Study, read, digest, meditate upon God's word. Who knows, but maybe he'll give you the light. Maybe perhaps he'll give you the light. Maybe perhaps he'll give you the love that you need. Like to have a copy of God's word, feel free to come and ask for one. May God bless you, Hanley. Bless you, I say, and have mercy. Mercy upon your precious, never dying souls.